Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Now we got a bunch to get to right off the top here on the Extra Point Show. First of all, I was just informed. I didn't know this. I was doing a bunch of stuff today, and I try to catch you guys as much as I can in the morning, you and Jeremy, that is Joe, and I was just told you had Lindy on today. I had no idea. How'd that go?
It went great. He was awesome to talk to. I thought it was weird talking to him. It was surreal talking to him, for sure.
Yeah, there was a different. How did that go? Probably a little different you than Jeremy, I would think.
A different energy. When we interview McDermott on this show, or when we were talked to Don Granato in the past, I don't know. I didn't even expect this, but the moment his voice was on the air, it hit me different. Like, I don't want to say it was nervous, but there was a different tension in the air for me, just because, he's my coach. He's the coach from the moment I remember hockey until, I'm in high school. So, yeah, it was super cool having Lindy on, and I'm definitely excited for him on those Tuesdays throughout the season.
What did he say about the team or anything? Anything that was noteworthy for you?
He agreed. This is not on the Sabres. He agreed with me that MacKinnon and Makar are, the greatest watch to watch all time because they literally move at a different speed. I love talking to him about the playoffs. He's watching it, and you can just tell, super into it and picking up cues from other teams. But I liked what he had to say in center, that it is vital, it's critical that you have especially your top two centermen kind of driving the bus. He didn't use those words exactly, but the comparison to what he had in New Jersey, Hughes developing into elite number one center once Lindy got there, and then Nico Hischier is a really good number two, and kind of thinking about Thompson and Cousins, and he talked about Thompson as a guy that he think has the elite offensive capability because we've already seen it. And he even was, you get a lot of coaches who just don't want to say anything that's even remotely critical of a player, even when it wouldn't be controversial, or they would just be scared of saying it. Mm-hmm. And there was Lindy today, like he's not as offensive as Tage, but that's okay because we want this, this, and this from him. And just even that, it's not even really that candid, but it's just, I'm just going to talk about hockey with you. And sure, I'm going to say in front of everybody that Cousins doesn't have as much offense to his game as Thompson does, and there's no one in the world that would even disagree with it. So why should you be afraid to say that in the first place? So just, even just Lindy, you can just tell. He's just talking hockey.
That's awesome. Good for you guys. Good for him. Is that I'm sure that interview's on demand, WGR550.com. Yep. People can check that out. That's Lindy Ruff on today with Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe. That's awesome right there. Speaking of hockey, did you see Andrew Peters' tweet today, this morning?
I missed that. What did Andrew say?
Okay. Well, there's a reason I'm bringing this up. He wrote, Owen Power for Mitch Marner, who says no. And what's funny about that is, I'm going to tell you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was texting with a Leafs fan friend of mine. And I said, man, what is going on? And I'm going to read you exactly word for word the tweet, the text back to me, okay? He said, ugh, don't get me started. Super disappointed. Austin is just sick. Sounds like a bad virus. It happens. But Mitch Marner may have to be shipped out. He's been bad. And then he wrote, this is like 3 days ago, Marner for Owen Power would be a great deal for both teams. And that's a Leafs fan friend of mine. And now I have Andrew Peters writing that. What do you think about that?
I love it. I don't think you're getting Mitch Marner for Owen Power personally. But sure, like I think sitting here right now, he's going to be traded. I think Marner is going to be the big
whale.
Okay,
make sure you say which guy when you say
Marner,
he, who
thank
do you,
you
mean?
Sorry, Marner. Okay. I think Marner is going to get traded. There's infighting on the bench, and there's been two weird things. You've had two of their three big three, I would say, like the core young group in Toronto of Matthews, Nylander, and Marner. You had the other day yelling at each other on the bench, and then Matthews disappearing in the third, and I'm not buying for a second that a doctor pulled a team's best player during the second intermission of a playoff game because of the flu. That does not happen in professional sports, let alone the NHL, where guys play through everything in the playoffs. So I'm not buying that. I think something happened between the second and third periods of that last Leafs-Bruins game that, not a surprise, we just saw them doing it on the bench like 2 minutes before they went to the locker room. So I can only imagine what happened there. And then Nylander, of course, was missing for the first three games of the series, and nobody could figure it out, whether it was an injury or whether it was some disciplinary action by the team. So there's just a weird series for Toronto. They're about to lose. They're about to go 1-8 in playoff series as this core has been constructed. And I think time's up. You now have all this extra stuff on top of the results. How long do you get to win as a group? And I think they're great, and I think they've been completely screwed over by the playoff format over the last 8 years. But whatever, playoff format's not changing anytime soon. You don't win in this playoff format. And you look at their guys, who do you move? Tavares has 1 year left at 11. Nobody wants him anyway at 34 at $11 million. It's too much money. So he, to me, is like separate from this. Matthews, Nylander, and Marner. Well, Matthews just signed a 4-year deal, $13.25 million,
and he's Austin Matthews.
Exactly. He's Austin Matthews. The Leafs aren't going to want to do that in any world. So right. Then you have Nylander. Nylander has always been the guy that everyone's always thought, well, that's the guy that'll eventually fall on the sword. Well, he isn't even into his new extension yet. His first year of his $11.5 million extension kicks in next season. Meanwhile, there's Mitch Marner sitting there, 1 year left on his deal before unrestricted free agency at $10.9 million. I think Marner's the one that's going to go.
I mean, it makes sense from their standpoint. What about from the Sabres standpoint? Something like that. Like, to go, would you want to, are you willing to shop around Owen Power to get a forward the caliber of Mitch Marner?
As long as I'm going to assume for this conversation that I have an indication or even an agreement that he is going to sign with me and I'm not just trading Owen Power for a 1-year rental.
He does have a no movement. I just want to make sure, I understand that for anybody, like in Andrew's replies, it's when he says, who says no? Well, Mitch Marner says no. I get it. Like, we're trying to have fun here though, right? Like, would that make sense for both teams? I guess is the point. Because when people say Mitch Marner would say no, yeah, he may say, I don't want to do that. We get it. But what about just from the pure hockey standpoint is how I'm approaching
it. And by the way, I'll get the pure hockey standpoint is where I'll spend most of this, but just quickly on that. Marner, like, use the same logic that most Sabre fans and even myself have used for convincing a guy from Toronto to come to Buffalo. This is close to home, and especially that guy who has been dealing with the Toronto machine for 8 years. being a little bit more under the radar nationally. It wouldn't be locally, but nationally,
right?
You know, that might appeal to him a little bit, especially if the Sabres would pay him whatever he wants, which I imagine they would. So Marner, I think you can get to that part of it. But for hockey,
well, can I say this on exactly what you just said? My Leafs fan friend, his next set of texts to me about this was exactly what you said. He said, The Sabres need a veteran playmaker. Leafs need a solid D. Marner is close to home, but still without the pressure of Toronto for that.
Right, exactly. So, and the age works. 27 years old. He's not so old that I wouldn't be willing to pay him. He's so good. I mean, for hockey, yes. Like, power, I'm still optimistic about. It's only it's only 2 years in, and we saw how long it could take guys. Hedman took a little longer than some other top picks. Dahlin took a few years. Like, it happens with even Norris-level defensemen. So, power, I'm high on. But this team's ready for a final piece or even, like, a core piece. Like, I think Mitch Marner would step onto the ice tomorrow and arguably be the Buffalo Sabres' best player. Like him and Dahlin, they'd be neck and neck. The guy, the playoffs are where he gets criticized because the numbers are not the same there. But for regular season, which is what we care about at the moment for the Sabres, this guy gets, I mean, 390-point seasons. He probably would have had three more even, because in the last 6 years, the years where he didn't get to 90 points, this year where he got to 85 in 69 games, and then the two COVID-shortened years where he had 67 points in 59 games and 67 points in 55 games. I mean, if he played full seasons, we might be talking about a guy that would be going on six straight 90-point seasons. He would be the best forward on the Sabres tomorrow. So, yes, I time to win. Go get a player that talented, and sure, if I got to sacrifice waiting to see how good power is, I would be okay with that.
It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll take your calls on this if you'd like. You could chime in. Like, that's kind of an interesting... I just find it weird that Andrew tweeted that. I had a Leafs fan friend who's very invested in the Leafs text me that the other day. Mitch Marner for Owen Power. What do you think? I thought it was really interesting. So maybe Sabres fans, Buffalo fans have thoughts on that. You can call us at 803-0550. We'll get connected with you that way. I got one more thing on Sabres and Leafs, but I do want to bring up that the Jaguars have just released Zay Jones.
Ooh.
Any interest there?
Okay. Without doing any digging yet on what the last year or two's been like, other than knowing him from fantasy, I would say yes. Okay. Like, on the surface, he's someone I'd want to look more into immediately upon hearing that he's available. Yeah.
I wonder what the Bills would think, though. You know, that's a team that shipped him out not long after he was a second-round draft pick.
There have been stories, though, about... And I'm trying to remember who did the stories. Maybe it was even Tyler Dunn, but I'll find
that.
He
did a story on Zay.
Okay.
That.
Yeah, that's right. That sounds right. About how much he really has grown from his time in Buffalo, like how much he needed to mature, and that when he left Buffalo, he kind of got the kick in the pants to do that. So I'll say up front, I hated him when he was here. I on the field, never liked the player. Drop problems, wasn't someone that got open all the time, was pretty good yak guy, but not like so good. Like, I did not like him at all when he was on the Bills. But from what I've seen since, like, I thought he was pretty good at the Raiders. I thought he was pretty good with the Jaguars. And right now, if you give me pretty good, I feel like I could use a guy on my receiver core that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's not a burner. Again, he's kind of in the mold of the guys they have a little bit, though, isn't he? That's the thing. Isn't it redundant? The Bills talked about redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a bit redundant. He's more of a possession guy. He's not beating anybody down the field, really.
Right?
Yeah. And remember what kind of got him traded in the first place. And again, I respect your point and what you said. Like, guys change, and the Bills know that. It's not like, you know, I don't know if that would be held against him forever, but remember what happened right before he got traded? He didn't fight for a ball against the Patriots, like two of them maybe it was even. And I just don't know if that's something that this regime, which, by the way, was the regime that traded him, would even go back and say, like, yeah, we just can't have that. Like, that's the way it ended here. But you never know, based on everything you just said, which is right. But he also doesn't really change the dynamic of the room that much, other than just add depth. Really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know what he would be for me? He would be a better insurance policy if Keon Coleman is not going to be able to play the X to the degree that they need. I think he's going to get the opportunity to, but a lot of the analysts...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I like on Coleman. Think he's going to be a good big slot player in the league. But that's not what Brandon Bean said. Brandon Bean said that he's going to play the X, and I think that is going to be very precarious. And if that doesn't work, then you've got Mac Hollins, but I'm looking at Zay Jones, and I guess I don't know like X versus Z, whatever, but I do know outside versus slot, and in the past couple of years with the Jaguars, he's been playing a lot more on the outside than he has in the slot. So that's what he would be for me, is a insurance policy if Coleman is not going to be ready to just take the bull by the horns.
At 10:30, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Josh Furlong. Josh, he actually was on with us last year when the Bills drafted Dalton Kincaid. He writes for Utah Sports. He's a beat writer for Utah Athletics. And obviously the Bills just drafted Cole Bishop, the safety. But also they signed this guy named Keon Bills, right? We talked about
yes.
him yesterday.
Keaton
he's
knows,
also
right?
out of Utah. What is that? Is Keaton? Sorry, I said Keon. Yes,
yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. Thinking of Keon Coleman. Keaton Bills. But, you know, we could talk with him about, you know, Cole Bishop and what his role was at Utah, but also what are the Bills getting in Keaton Bills. So Josh Furlong will join us at the bottom of the hour. One more question on Leafs Sabres. Which existence is better as a sports fan? What the Leafs have endured yeah. with their high-end talent and pressure and expectations of all these playoff failures, I did not realize until someone tweeted out yesterday, and I apologize for not knowing who this was. I have to go back and look. That it's the even though the Sabres have missed the playoffs for 13 straight years, they have four times as many playoff series wins since the last Leafs win. I mean, in that time.
Uh-huh.
Or since the lockout. Since the lockout, which goes back 20 years now, 19 years.
Yeah.
Goes back 19 years. The Sabres have four times as many playoff series wins as the Leafs, despite missing for 13 straight seasons. Now, that sucks, missing 13 straight years. It is the longest drought in professional sports, tied with the New York Jets. We've lived it with the Bills. We're living it with the Sabres. It sucks. I don't think there's any existence where that's you like that in any regard.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the expectations in Toronto, the teams they've had, the talent they've had, getting Mike Babcock in there, drafting Austin Matthews, all the Tavares, all this major talent, and how many times they've fallen short. What is a better existence, right? Would you rather have that? To a degree, it's kind of like the Bills over the last 5 years, right?
I was just going to say that. It's kind of reminiscent. Like,
right.
It's a little different in that the Bills, honestly, like the Bills' existence in this window of we know we're incredible, but we can't get past Kansas City has been a shorter period of time than this Leafs' existence has been. And also, the Bills get further in the playoffs, even if it's only by a round, but that's maybe more has to do with, again, the format. Because the Leafs, like, they do lose to the same teams. You know, like, for them, they might have two Kansas Cities, though. They can't get past Boston, and they hadn't been able to get past Tampa. But it's more Boston. Like, if they lose to the Bruins here, in this 8-year period, where they're about to be 1-8 in playoff series, assuming they lose, this will be the third time against Boston that they go out in the first round. And that doesn't count the couple of years before that, where Kessel and Phaneuf were there, they blew that game 7 to Boston. So the Bruins, they can't get by no matter what they do. So, I don't know. Like, I think I'd still have to take them, though, because as much as you feel like you're living the same life, it's Groundhog Day over and over and over and over and over again, you still get the regular season, I guess, right? Like, I know you're going to get let down in the playoffs every single time, but you have more, I think you have more passion. I think you have more, I think the Sabres, you missed the playoffs 13 years in a row, and even if we still sit here and callers call in, there are some out there that are still getting mad about them or have strong opinions on them, want to see them do certain things. There's also a segment of the Sabres fan base that's checked out. That's happened. There's a segment. Right. I don't know how big the segment is, but that's happened. And the Leafs, I don't know if they've checked out. I think you just have everybody angry all the time, which I might say is even better just because you still have the passion there.
Right. I think the way I look at it, I think the Leafs, I would prefer the Leafs' existence despite all of the failures because you still think you have a chance, right? Like, yep. At least you think you have a chance. You go into the playoffs thinking, okay, maybe this is our year. Maybe we can finally do this. They win a first-round series last year. Like, okay, here we go. Then they lose. But at least you think you're in it. You don't know how it's going to end. It seems like we've known how the season's going to end for the Sabres by January, basically, right? Over the last 13 years. I mean, you get 3 months of, hey, maybe this is, I guess it's not. You know, and that's just, you're playing out the string. It kind of doesn't matter. And what you said about checking out. That's right. Joe, it reminds me of during the Bills drought, how much did we hear they're losing a generation of fans? And I always pushed back against that and said, look, I get it. Like, kids are growing up like, oh, mm-hmm. I want to root for the Patriots or I want to root for whoever I see on TV that's winning, not the Bills. All it takes is to win a couple of seasons and those kids are back. Their families are there. They're grown up Bills fans in Buffalo. You may lose a few. You're not losing a generation of fans. I get why people say that. And what you said about the Sabres, this is the same thing. Like, you could talk to a lot of little kids who might like McDavid and the Oilers, obviously, or whatever team out there. But all it takes is give me a little something to taste. You're not losing a whole generation. You're getting them back. They're just looking for something to cling on to in Buffalo they haven't had.
Right. But it does happen with some people, even if it's not a lot.
Sure.
Like my brother is prime example. Like, I believe he's an Eagles fan today and not a Bills fan because of the drought. If the Bills were good when he was a kid, I don't think he'd be an Eagles fan. But he grew up an Eagles fan because the Bills were always terrible. And I don't know, again, that could be only a select few, though. That I have a personal experience, so it's going to feel like it's a thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Because you're right, like, the moment the Bills got good, it was even really before, right? Just because of the tailgating scene that, like, all my friends were going to games, even at the end of the drought, even when Tyrod was the quarterback. Like, everyone was going. Everyone was Bills fans. And everyone was right there, ready to go nuts the moment Allen was their quarterback. So, is the Sabres different, though, for that? Because you don't have the event of the game. Like, even when the Bills would be 5-5 hosting the Jets. Like, the event of the game was still a thing, and you just don't have that with the Sabres.
I agree with that. I think that at least, you know, tailgating kind of saved that in a lot of ways, right? All the nonsense that we've talked about and seen that has gone on in tailgating. And I always say this, like, people, I go on these radio shows you do, and people talk about Bills Mafia and jumping through tables and all the things that go on, the crazy, stupid stuff. And I'm like, look, that's not really what it's about, but here's what happened. Like, they're in this drought, and what you said, you're still going to the event because you want to go. But the football game's not the thing because the team stinks. So I'm going to be out here in the parking lot and just basically have a really good time because this is my outlet every weekend. And oh, by the way, while that was happening, cell phones with video came about, right? I mean, now we're putting all these things out there and it's going viral and everybody thinks that's what Bills Mafia is about. You're right. That's not the Sabres. I would also say, though, the difference is, and of course we see hockey on national television, it's not like football, though. It's not like these teams are in your face all the time. If you, like, to become an Edmonton Oilers fan, you'd have to watch them a little bit more. It's not like seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers on primetime every week when you're during the drought.
Right. No, that's definitely true. So, all that circling back to Toronto a little bit, like, Toronto, I don't know, for them it might be more of that, though. Right, like where the game is an event, right? Especially because tickets are so hard to come by there that if you get the chance to go to a game, it's like, all right, you know, they might have already clinched a playoff spot, but it's a Friday night in March and they're hosting the Lightning. Like that's city's that's their Bills game, I think, is it, without living there, you know, that's the perception, is that's their Bills game. So I don't know. I think it's probably. You live that existence in Toronto because you would still have hope. You still have the superstar. You still feel like, you know, well, we've got Matthews. Well, we've got a couple of these other guys. Maybe not all of them will stay, but there's this talent level here where if we just do this different or if we just do this different, we just fire this coach and bring this guy in. Like, you might always feel like you're one step away, which I think is very different than where there have been times with the Sabres where it feels like they are 15 steps away.
That's right. And now the Sabres, another new head coach, Lindy Ruff. And, of course, Jeremy and Joe had Lindy on this morning. You can check that interview on demand, WGR550.com. We are still kind of reading all the analysis about draft grades and, you know, draft, you know, just kind of great, like I said, grading or analyzing the draft, I should say. And I think that for the most part, like, I haven't seen people going all in on the Bills draft was great. The Bills draft was horrible. It wasn't that. It's still the talk of how did you let Kansas City go up there and take Xavier Worthy? I think that generally the consensus is the Bills got some pretty good football players here. We understand what they're doing. They added their wide receiver room, but where were more wide receivers? That's what I've seen. I don't think I've seen any wild takes about how, like, the picks themselves, Joe, were either, oh my God, they're amazing, or oh my God, they're horrible. Anybody who says the Bills had a poor draft generally revolves around the trade they made at 28 to allow Kansas City to go up. Not even they traded at 28. That is, it was about Kansas City.
I would. Those are the two biggest complaints, right? Is one, you only drafted one receiver and you traded with Kansas City. I think those are the two things.
I think so, yeah. One of the teams that had a really good draft, apparently, just based on value, a lot of people say is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yesterday, did you see from, who was it? One of the former Steelers. There was a former Steeler who said this. He said, he tweeted out, and I got to go back and find this who it is, that the Steelers are about to add a significant offensive playmaker. Mm. And now other media in Pittsburgh's like jumping on and going, yeah, that's not true.
it's going to be Zay Jones.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. I've immediately seen people connecting him there to Pittsburgh. But Ayuk is probably the name people think of the most. Okay.
Bryant McFadden said it. He said, here's the tweet. Ooh, Omar is working. The Steelers are very close to landing a significant playmaker.
Okay.
And then other people are like, I don't think that's true. And then some people are, the biggest reply is, okay, please don't tell me it's Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, right. What does significant mean? It is worth pointing out that Ayuk tweeted at Mike Tomlin. Like, his only tweet in the last, like, 2 years was he came out of the woodwork to tweet at Mike Tomlin, you know, something about Pittsburgh. So, you never know. Like, that could be the move, but Pittsburgh's also not usually a team like that, are they? Has Pittsburgh ever been the team that goes and trades its number one pick for a star offensive playmaker?
Generally not, but they have operated differently this offseason by trading for or by landing Russell Wilson, by trading for Justin Fields. I think they've done some different things. this offseason. Deontay Johnson, right? Was that who did they trade?
Yep, Johnson, they traded
Deontay
him
Johnson, right? I mean, this is just they've operated a little bit differently, a little bit more aggressively. So I wouldn't necessarily kind of dismiss this notion. All right. I was on BetMGM last night with Trista Crick and the folks over there. And twice now, I've been asked by that panel a question that my answer hasn't changed. I want to throw that at you, Joe, a little bit later. But when we come back, Josh Furlong, who covers Utah sports, is going to join us here on the Northtown Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're going to talk about the addition of Cole Bishop and Keaton Bills, the offensive lineman. Stick with us here on a Tuesday on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!